It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
Alrighty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. What a great round of 32 we got to see on Saturday and Sunday. And now we have a lot of great teams still alive in the Sweet 16. Only one double-digit seed remains, and it's Coach Cal with Arkansas. So that's not your traditional double-digit seed that's still playing in a Sweet 16. We'll go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a man that won an NCAA championship as a player with Arizona, also coached for many years with Memphis and Georgia Tech, and that's our pal Josh Pastner back on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Coach, appreciate the time as always. Thanks for it. How you been?
Zach, great to be with you. And as you mentioned, some great games this past weekend. Looking forward to a great Sweet 16. Let me also say this. I know a lot of people are talking about the lack of upsets or the lack of exciting games other than the Maryland-Colorado State game yesterday with the buzzer shot by Derek Queen. Here's the truth to it all. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the mid-major schools, the players who are 22, 23, they'd be juniors and seniors, and they wanted to stay at the school. There was no portal. There was no NIL. You could just keep them as an older group of guys. And then what happens when you play a team that's from a power conference, those teams maybe had some younger freshmen. Their roster was different. And so that's where you saw the upsets. And now when you're at a mid-major school, or I shouldn't say a mid-major, a non-school out of the Power Four conferences, or Power Five if you include the Big East, when someone who had their first year has a great year, averages 11 a game, they're going to go on the portal, and then one of the schools in the power conferences are going to pay them money to take them because they can pay them more than that current school. And so it's a combination of that. The lower seeded teams this year did not shoot well from 3-point range during the tournament. And the third thing, when you talked about Arkansas being the Cinderella team as a 10th seed, they've got maybe more NIL this year than anybody remaining in the tournament. So there's really not that many Cinderella stories. I've said it from the beginning. This tournament was going to be top heavy, and that's where it is. It's a power conference tournament in these 16 remaining teams. And even though we maybe didn't get some of the elite game, buzzer beaters, crazy games in the first couple rounds, I think we're going to get that in these next couple rounds because of the parity at that top of the food chain in college hoops.
Yeah, I said it after the first round. I thought it was an underwhelming first round, but with how many great teams are still alive, I thought it was going to be an epic Sweet 16 and on. I was very pleased, though, with the round of 32. Let's start it off, though, with Maryland. Everyone's dissecting this game-winning shot. It was an incredible ending, Maryland, Colorado State. Do you think Queen traveled? Do you ever expect that to be called in that moment?
Zach, I mean, you could slow-mo it, and it looks like a travel on the slow-mo, but when you watch it in real time, it does not look like a travel.
Agreed.
You know, they talk about the word gathering or picking up the dribble. You're not going to call it. It was not an evident travel. Yes, slow-mo it. It could be a travel. But you know, some of the new rules moving forward in college basketball has been, if there's a question mark on a traveling call, if there's even a gray area, favor the offense. It's just like the block charge call. You see, there's very few charges called anymore. It's all mostly blocks because they want to favor the offense. So it was the right decision not to call it. In the real time, it did not look like it, and it was a heck of a game. What was interesting was when Maryland was up and Colorado State was coming down, Maryland was in man-to-man. Then Colorado State called timeout. Maryland came out in zone, and Colorado State hits that three. Maryland inbounds the ball, rushes up the court, and I didn't know if Kevin Willard, the coach of Maryland, was going to take a timeout, decided to take a timeout. They kind of run it. They called it America's play or a gate or an elevator play. We're on the side of the lane line. The guys go through two guys. And then Queen, to kind of, it was a decoy. Queen came up, caught it, went to his left with a shooter in the left corner. And he hit it was a great defense, but better offense. And most right-handers, Queen is a right-hander, they prefer to shoot off the dribble going to their left. And that's what Queen did, and hit an incredible shot off the backboard. Zach, you covered basketball your whole life. People rarely use the backboard anymore, and that's a kind of a lost art. And it was two lost arts. He hit a mid-range shot, and he hit a shot off the backboard, which you don't see too often in basketball anymore.
Josh Pastner here with us. Coach Pitino, we all know how much of a legend Rick Pitino is, and it's incredible what he did with St. John's. But when your season ends and you're not the last team standing, you always get criticized. 5 minutes left in the game, he takes the Big East Player of the Year, R.J. Lewis, out, never puts him back in. Did you think that was a bad decision looking back at it when he didn't have it, the kid? He was 3-17. But would you rather go down swinging with your best, or do you understand what Coach Pitino was doing there?
Look, and you know this, Zach, as well as anybody. I mean, Coach Pitino is maybe the greatest ever to coach in college basketball. I mean, he could be considered the greatest coach ever. So I preface this to say that look, he had his reasonings why. I I think in that situation, when you're literally in a one game playoff, regardless of how bad R.J. Lewis was, because look, he was terrible leading up to that point. There was no denying it. But he was Big East Player of the Year, one of the best players in the country. In my personal opinion, you just got to roll with him. And at some point, yeah, you got to maybe take him out because he was stinking up the gym and how poorly he was playing. But then in crunch time, you just got to say, hey, man, we're going to go with you. And you got to hope his stardom, his talent, his abilities take over and make a big shot or two late down the stretch. So I was surprised that he was on the bench based on who he is as a player. In that crunch time situation, I don't know how Coach Pitino feels waking up the next morning thinking, should I had him in? Yes, he wasn't good leading up to that. But you know this, Zach, with talent, great players, or even if they have in a poor game, you're probably going to usually roll with them even very late. And all they need to make is one or two shots to change the dynamics of it. It was sort of like Walter Clayton Jr. at Florida. He was a little struggling up and down, then late in the game took over. And that's kind of what great players do. And I was surprised that he wasn't in.
All right, let's get to the Arkansas side of it, as Coach Josh Pastner is here with us. You know, John Calipari really well, working with him back at Memphis. Look at the difference a year makes. And it's even more than that. I thought it was time for Coach Cal to leave Kentucky. I thought it was time for Kentucky to bring somebody else in. He goes to Arkansas. We know the connections there with the NIL money and all that stuff. I didn't see this team get into a Sweet 16, if you would have told me that a month ago or even a week ago. But it's nice to see Coach Cal, I've always been a big fan of, have this moment when a lot of people deservedly so the last few years were questioning him.
Well, you remember about a year ago, I was on your show and I said that, look, and this is before, right as he left, I said, I told you, look for Scott Drew to possibly be the next coach of Kentucky.
Yeah.
And before anybody, and you said, Josh, I called it. Which he was. They obviously went after him. They wanted him, and obviously he ended up turning it down. But it's worked out for Kentucky because Mark Pope's obviously has done a great job. Yes, I think going back to John Calipari, it was probably a great opportunity for him for a fresh start, as you mentioned. What I would tell you is I think this is his best coaching job, Zach. I mean, and he said this many times. And he's funny when he says it. They were 0-5 in start of SEC play. And he, like he says, they had us in the coffin. They just didn't put the nails down. You know what I mean? They forgot to put the nails, and we kind of pushed up the coffin and was able to come out and get fresh air. But you're 0-5 in that league. It's not like you're saying, okay, we're going to get a win here. We got two easy games here. You could literally go 0-18 in that league because of that the competition and how strong the league is. And so it's an incredible coaching job. I think the whole season got turned around, Zach, when they won at Kentucky.
Agreed.
And I think that changed everything. And I actually texted Cal this afterwards. If you saw him after the game, the way he ran from the game to the locker room and did the post-game interview, he was running and he wasn't even out of breath. That's when you know his adrenaline was running at such a level, because to win that game at Kentucky, and the guy's won so many big games in his career when you think it's not going to happen, and all of a sudden he wins games. And so for them to go to the Sweet 16, he's said it yesterday, it's probably his most rewarding season that he's coached in all his years. The guy's a Hall of Famer. And you know what, Boogie Flann, I want to say two things on Boogie Flann, their star freshman who's going to be a first-round draft pick. Boogie Flann, they were not playing well when Boogie Flann was playing early in the year, got injured. That's when they started turning the corner. Why? A guy like John L. Davis started understanding his role more, got the ball more. It was actually you don't want to see anyone get hurt, obviously, but it actually helped Arkansas when Boogie Flann wasn't playing. It shortened the rotation. Some older guys got the ball, the ball in their hands, Wagner and John L. Davis, where they needed to, and they produced. And then secondly, Boogie Flann, credit to Boogie Flann, plays his first game after all season long being injured, plays his first game coming off the bench in the first round of the tournament. He doesn't need to play. He's going to be a first round pick. But you know what? Credit to him. He wasn't worried about the what the NBA was saying. It could hurt his stock, anything like that. He wanted to play, and I thought that showed a lot of character of him and competitive excellence. Because as you know, Zach, a lot of guys, you see them in football or whatever, they don't want to play because they don't want to mess up their draft situation. He could have easily done that by him playing, I thought, showed a lot about him as a competitor.
And it's also pretty neat when you look back at it, because usually, right, one team wins, one team loses in sports, Josh Pastner. To see Mark Pope then go to Kentucky once Arkansas ended up getting Cal, and then also you had Kevin Young replace Mark Pope at BYU, to see all three of those schools in the Sweet 16 now, I think it's pretty neat stuff, and it's a special storyline to kind of follow the rest of March.
Well, it all started when the coach at SMU, Rob Lanier, who's now the head coach at Rice, who's a very good basketball coach, was very successful at Georgia State and was doing a nice job at SMU, but then was let go unexpectedly. Nobody saw that coming. And like I said, he's now the head coach at Rice, which had then allowed Andy Enfield to be hired at SMU, which opened up USC for Eric Musselman to go to USC, Cal to go to Arkansas, because Musselman left Arkansas. That brings in Mark Pope from BYU to Kentucky, and then Kevin Young from the Phoenix Suns, top assistant NBA, who was involved with a possible New Jersey Nets job or some NBA jobs or the Brooklyn Nets. And he turned that down to go to BYU, and that was the dominoes of it all. Just funny how dominoes work in the coaching ladder.
No doubt about it. I thought Auburn was also a big winner this weekend. I would have, if you would have asked me a month ago who's going to the championship game, I would have said Duke up against Auburn. Sign me up. And then the way that their season ended, losing three out of their last four, even though the SEC is unbelievable, I was questioning Auburn a little bit. What they did up against Creighton, not only was I very impressed by it, I think the world had a Dusty May, and they won't go down without a fight. Beard and Izzo are phenomenal, but now I'm kind of back on the train that Auburn's going to be getting to the Final Four. How about yourself?
Yeah, I think the four teams are going to be Auburn, Florida, Houston, Duke. I think Houston wins it all. But I do think Duke's really good, Zach. I mean, they're at another level right now.
I can't pick against them right now. Duke.
No. I pick in Houston just because I kind of went with them at the beginning. But I think Duke's really good. And I picked Houston because I wasn't sure about Cooper Flagg's health going into the tournament. Watching them play, if I could redo my whole picks, I would pick Duke, that they're going to win the whole thing. They've got, obviously, got the number one draft pick in Cooper Flagg. They got multiple pros. They got older guys. The only thing with Houston that concerns me is that they're playing in Indianapolis. They're playing Purdue, which is going to be a road game for Houston on this weekend. And then if they get by that, Tennessee and Kentucky advance to the Elite Eight and Houston's play them. That's going to, the fans are driving distance to Indianapolis from there. That could be the only thing that would scare me on Houston of getting out. But I still think Houston's so good. That all being said, if I could redo it over, seeing now the Cooper flag, the health that he's healthy, I just can't see Duke not winning the whole national title.
You know how tough it is in that SEC this year, and you've talked about this. People are going to say, everyone's analysis, Kentucky and Tennessee, it's so tough to beat a team three times in a season. Make the argument to me why Kentucky can do that, and they could hand Tennessee their third loss of the season up against Kentucky.
Yeah, I would put it, Zach, I think you would have to throw that stat out for this particular time. I think it maybe matters when, you know, in maybe in a conference tournament, you know, because, you know, three times and, you know, no matter what happens, you're going to play again in the NCAA tournament. It's not the end. I think for that stat, a three-time deal, you kind of throw it out based on it's do or die for either team. The loser's done, the winner advances. So you're kind of just starting fresh. It's a one-game playoff. So I don't put as much stock in beating a team three times in this situation, because it's a neutral court, you know, it's a different deal. That being said, it's all going to come down to, can Kentucky defend at a high level, take out Ziegler and Chaz Lanier, and obviously Ganey's really good, but being able to guard that backcourt, which Kentucky has had struggles this year on the defensive end. It's never been about offense. It's been about, can they win? To me, if it was a muck it up, grind it out, tough, hard nose, ugly game, can they win that through defense? That's to be determined. That could be the game against Tennessee. I do think Tennessee gets by them when it's all said and done. Yes, Tennessee lost both of them. And if you look back at both games when Kentucky beat Tennessee, Kentucky's offense was zooming and zipping. And I mean, the way they were moving the ball and hitting threes, you've got to imagine Tennessee is going to be just different in how they prepare and what they're going to do, and really try to be as physical as possible against Kentucky. Both teams are familiar with each other, but I do like, in the end, I do like Tennessee in this game.
Wrapping up with Josh Pastner, it's tough to be able to find a team right now that's been playing better than Florida entering the tournament. They got a scare up against UConn, but I feel like whenever a team wins a national championship, for most of the time, I know UConn could be an exception with what they've done the last few years, usually get a scare and win a game that you should probably lose. You knew Hurley was not going to go down without a fight. It was incredible how much control they were in the game, but what Florida did in those final few minutes, I thought that was maybe the most impressive thing they've done all season, and I understand they just won the SEC Conference Tournament.
Well, Zach, I always say that to win a national championship, you have to go through a scary, just, you know, tough, hard-nosed game where you think you're about to lose. You know, it's just a grunt, you know, like the, you know, it was just a scary game. One of the few exceptions, which you make a great point, is the non-stress that UConn had the last 2 years winning a national title. They really had no stress. It was surreal. They were never tested, really, other than the San Diego State game, which was like within 5 points late. Other than that, it was nothing. They were dominating every game. So for Florida to get by a high-stressed game and they were down and found a way to win, I do think is a good sign for Florida. You're right, Zach. They're the hottest team in the country coming into this tournament. They are very deep. They've got great players. They've obviously got a great guard in Walter Clayton Jr. You need to have a scare. They got through their scare. I don't see they're going to have any more scares getting into San Antonio in the Final Four.
You know, I know Dan Hurley is not everybody's cup of tea, as I'm holding a cup of tea right now in my hands. But with that being said, I love Dan Hurley. I love his antics. I say this.
Zach, you need a character in college basketball, and he's
exactly
a good character. You need that. Like you, a lot of those guys have retired. So, and I don't say a character in a bad way. Like his enthusiasm, his work in the referees, some of the things he says, you need that. And you know what?
He's the king of the sport. It's polarizing, and you need that. You need a personality coach.
He's polarizing. He's got the personality. He's won back-to-back national champion. I mean, winning one national championship's hard. Winning back-to-backs, literally, you have a better chance of winning the lottery. So he's going to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Like, I get it. You can criticize. There's things that we all, he can be better at, but you know what? We don't need it to be a boring sport either. You know what I mean? And college basketball should be about the coaches. Listen, it's a player's game, but you get what I'm saying. You need some personality on the sideline, and he can back it up with all he's got to do is pull out his rings.
Yeah. Two rings, Baldy, as he said, walking off the court up against Creighton. That actually may be my favorite answer you gave us, because I didn't even get to finish asking the question. You already knew what I was going to ask you. All righty, coaching cycle, then we'll let you run. Indiana got DeVries, Sean Miller, Texas. We'll wait NC State, Ryan Odom, Virginia. I'll be curious to see what Villanova does. What stands out to you so far in this crazy college coaching cycle?
Well, they're early on. There are just some things hiring some former NBA guys coming. You know, obviously Alex Jensen at Utah, assistant with the Dallas Mavericks. Luke Lucas, something like, I don't want to mispronounce his name, at Florida State, who is a Sacramento former alum. Both guys are alums of their schools, respectively, coming from the Sacramento Kings. But look, this is part of the cycle. Villanova's open right now. West Virginia's open right now, which will create some other dominoes. Colorado State's open right now. So those will create some other dominoes. It's all part of the deal. And we'll see what happens as more people get hired. Xavier's open. It's part of it. So, you know, we'll see if Chris Mack ends up being the Xavier coach again. I could see Luke Murray's in there possibly. The assistant at UConn, I could see his name there. We'll see what happens. You know, Villanova, you've heard Richard Pitino, Kevin Willard. You've heard guys like that. So it's going to be an interesting domino effect over the next 7-10 days. And I'm sure people are going to want to start getting these hires moving and going because the portal's open and want to recruit your team.
Villanova, I think, is fascinating. Because, you know, if you look at a Porter Moser, I think he's a better fit at Nova than Oklahoma.
I've heard his name, too. His name, too, yep.
Yeah, and I think Mick Cronin is a better fit at Villanova than UCLA. Willard, I would stay at Maryland. And I'll be fascinated if Cronin or Porter get that job if they leave the good jobs that they're at right now for Nova.
And I've heard Cronin's name, too. But, you know, a lot of those things, too, Zach, you got to remember, like, some guys, you got to look at their buyouts. I mean, some guys could have double-digit buyouts, 10, 12 million, or even 7 million, like, is a school willing to pay? I mean,
good point.
I mean, so names could be mentioned, but, okay, are you really going to pay someone a buyout of 6, 7, 8 million to get a coach? That's a lot of money to spend that, plus give the new coach, plus you've had to fire the coach, plus the NIL. So I think before names are being mentioned, people really need to study the buyouts of where people's at, because, you know, you start getting, listen, $3 million is a lot of money, but it's, I mean, you and I would, I mean, it was a lot of money, but a $3 million buyout for a school to maybe
a lot
get
of money to me, class. Maybe not for you.
No, it's a lot of money for me. Listen, hey, $20 is a lot of money for me, but $3 million buyout, $2 million buyouts, a little easier for a school. It's still a lot of money. And when you're sitting there saying, hey, this coach is going to cost me 7 or 8 just to get him out of his contract. And I don't know, in the end, do presidents and our schools say, hey, can we really do this financially? Are we really, you know, because that's a big commitment to get someone to come from school. Can we, or get another coach that's maybe a lesser buyout? And can we get the same results? Those are things that the presidents, athletic directors, and the board of trustees have to ask.
Do you want to coach again, or with this NIL and transfer portal, you're like, I'm good on TV?
I love doing TV, but yes, I would love to coach again if it's the right opportunity. I've taken two schools to the tournament, have won championships at both schools. I would like to take a third. I'd like to have another opportunity. I love television. So I'm not just going to leave TV just for the heck of it, because, as you know, Zach, the opportunities I've had in television are hard to get. But if there was the right opportunity, I would be all in to try to have an opportunity to coach again. If somebody felt I was the right fit for them, and I felt they were the right fit for me. So, and I would have, you know, me, cause I'm a positive guy. I think I look at the portal as an opportunity, the NIL, in a good way. And I think I'd be really good at it, because it's so much now, more so than ever, you're just dealing with people.
Yeah.
It's more so than ever a people's business. And yes, and you still got to coach and do it and develop players, but there's other things that I like about it, that is, it can, even with the dealing with the agent, it just streamlines everything. Instead of spending 3-4 years recruiting a high school guy and then chasing him at 15 and under, 16 and under, 17 and under, going to here, going to there, fine, which I loved. I love that. No problem. Now you don't have to do that. You just call the agent and say, "Hey, do we have a shot? What's it going to be? What's the contract? How much does he want?" And you can just streamline recruiting instead of 3 years, basically into 3 weeks. I think it's way more efficient now. Yes, there are some things that are maybe not as good about it, but it's way more efficient, and you can streamline a lot of stuff, and you can save so much more time than ever before, where we were chasing kids for 3-4 years and not getting them, and you're like, it was exhausting to do that and then not get the kid. Those things were gut punches because they were like a family member to you, the time and effort you spent. Now you just figure out, you go right to the point, right to the source, and you know within literally in 3 weeks if you're getting the kid or not.
He's Josh Pastner. Josh, appreciate the time as always. You're unbelievable whenever you join us. Thank you.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate you.
There you go, Josh Pastner. I could talk college basketball with him for another 40 minutes, but then our show would literally be over because we'd be running out of time as we only got 40 minutes to go on a very busy Monday. But incredible insight by the former coach at Georgia Tech and Memphis. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll go around the room. Winners and losers from this past weekend in college basketball. Alrighty, we'll get to an ACC update coming up in a few moments. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I thought the round of 32 was awesome. Now, the opening round, not exciting. Round of 32, really damn good. And now we sit here in the college basketball landscape, and you have all four number one seeds remaining, three number two seeds remaining, two number three seeds remaining, three number four seeds remaining, a five seed, 2-6 seeds, and then a 10 seed. So that's the seeding breakdown. So outside of Arkansas, who's not your traditional 10 seed, and they're the lowest ranked seed being a 10 seed, outside of that, it's all 1-6, which I think is phenomenal, and I think it's going to make for an awesome Sweet 16 and on. And I thought the round of 32 was very good, but your Sweet 16 matchups, Auburn, Michigan, Ole Miss, Michigan State, Chris Beard going to join us tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time live on the show. Florida, Maryland, Texas Tech, Arkansas. You have Kentucky, Tennessee, which actually I think is the game that excites me the most. Houston, Purdue, BYU, Alabama, which I think is going to be a wonderful offensive game. And then you got Duke and Arizona. But anyway, let's go around the room. I'll start off the winners of the weekend. And I mentioned this with Josh Pastner, and he brought up a good point. So Andy leaves USC, right, to go to SMU. Then USC is open. The Musk bus goes out back west, and he goes and takes over USC. So that has an opening at Arkansas. And John Calipari, he was going to be back, but the fans didn't want him back. He goes, "All right, Tyson family, I'm going over to Arkansas. You know, woo pig, let's go. Pig suey. We're going all the way to Arkansas." Then Kentucky opens up. Just like Josh Pastner said, I remember I had a fiery rant. That's when I was actually yelling. Because, yeah, Kentucky fans were like, "Oh, no, I don't want Scott Drew." I'm like, Scott Drew won a championship at Baylor. Well, why wouldn't you want Scott Drew at Kentucky? And Scott Drew said, "Thanks, but no thanks. Okay." And they made a hire of a guy that I like. I didn't know if he was going to get the Kentucky job. And heck, we were talking about him. We were talking with him at Final Four Radio Row last year, where he like loved our show intro music, and we had Mark Pope on a bunch. And Mark Pope was basically saying he fully believes that Cal won another national championship at Kentucky. And that's a crazy clip because he ended up replacing Cal, who went to Arkansas. Mark Pope is the guy now at Kentucky. And then you had Kevin Young, who was on the Sun staff. He finds his way to BYU. And a year later, Arkansas, Sweet 16. Kentucky, Sweet 16. BYU, Sweet 16. And quite frankly, you know, it's all gravy from here on out with those three schools in this run. Sure, Kentucky, they beat Tennessee twice this season, but I know that's a great rivalry and all that stuff. And I know Kentucky fans will be irate if they lose, but am I crushing Kentucky if they lose to Tennessee by a few points? No, I'm not. Arkansas, you're the only double-digit seed remaining. I actually think they're going to get the job done up against Texas Tech. And then you look at BYU, that could be a firework game and a lot of explosions between BYU's offense and Alabama's offense. And I think it's just going to come down to who shoots a three-point ball better in that one. But BYU, Arkansas, and Kentucky, all coaches in year one at those institutions and all coaches that are in the Sweet 16. So those three schools, those three coaches are my winners from this past weekend. Stu?
My winners are all the teams that are in the SEC that advance to the Sweet 16. Obviously, they set the record with 14 teams getting in. The first round wasn't great, 8-6, but the second round, the round of 32, was 7-1. They set the record for the most teams in the Sweet 16 with 7. It was pretty much a banner weekend for the SEC.
Samter, who is your winner from this past weekend?
I was initially going to go with last year's runner-up, Purdue, and Matt Painter. I mean, there's so much doubt always around Purdue, and I think they have a legit chance of beating Houston. But I decided, because of in honor of our guest for tomorrow, I'm going to go Chris Beard. Right, this is a guy who was kind of down and out. He had a lot of negativity around him. Got fired from Texas for, you know, not for his coaching, but for other reasons.
Yeah.
Picked up at a school.
And then the Chargers got dropped after he got fired.
Yeah,
too.
And picked up at a school that doesn't have a huge basketball pedigree. It's a football school in the SEC, and here he is going up against Coach Izzo in the elite, in the Sweet 16. Chris Beard is kind of like riding back up that rocket.
I think he's unbelievable. I thought he was gonna find a way to win at Ole Miss. Was it to this level? Probably not. But that's gonna be a heck of a coaching matchup between Chris Beard and also Tom Izzo. All right, losers. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm saying it. It's Coach Pitino. In the moment, with 5 minutes to go, I'm like, all right, you know, you reset. He's just not having anything. You got to go to somebody else. You take out the Big East Player of the Year in R.J. Lewis. Usually coaches don't criticize other coaches. And I was kind of 50-50 on it. I leaned more. It was like 58% the wrong decision by Pitino. But when Josh Pastner comes on this show and goes, I love Coach Pitino, could be the best coach of all time, I'm like, here comes the but. But I would live and die with the Big East Player of the Year. And I can't refute that. So Pitino, unbelievable. Regular season championship, conference tournament championship. They haven't won the conference tournament since 2000. Big East Coach of the Year, Big East Player of the Year, Big East Most Improved Player of the Year. But that game up against Arkansas, they had a chance to win it, even when they didn't play their best brand of basketball. And Pitino basically said it, right? That team, their free throws, their threes, either on or they're not. There's no middle ground. And that's what you've seen with St. John's throughout the year. But St. John's dug themselves in too deep of a hole. R.J. Lewis didn't show up. And Pitino in that decision-making. So both them, I would say R.J. Lewis and Rick Pitino are the losers from this weekend. And by the way, let me just give the PSA here. And I've never seen these ads done in-game. But people sending disgusting messages, and they tie it into gambling. I don't know if it's directly tied into gambling. Are there people that lose money and tweet kids dumb things and stupid things? Absolutely. But even if there wasn't the gambling, I still think you're getting those morons. Right? Like, you know, I'm not comparing myself to a college basketball star. You should see my DMs sometimes. You should see my messages that I get. I had one person track down my cell phone number and send me like 300 texts and send like the most disgusting things I've ever read.
Was that wrong?
That's a good line, but it was a true story. But anyway, it's a good line out of you, Ack. Ack is like becoming a comedian here. What the heck has gotten into you? You got the surgery done, and now like you're feeling better and everything's good?
I wouldn't say I'm feeling better, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, Ack drops his glasses. Zach, can you pick him up? But yeah, so obviously it goes without being said. If you tweet a college kid or any athlete, like, just disgusting things. Like, it's one thing to get on the radio and give a take about someone. Oh, they stunk. Oh, they messed up the game. But if you're sending death threats or you're talking about somebody's race, like, you're just a scum of an earth. You know, I'm going to catch myself there. You're a horrible human being. All right, like, get a life. And I know you're like, oh, it's just trolling. Like, stop. It's ridiculous. But my losers of the weekend, obviously, it's St. John's. All righty, Stu, who's your losers?
My losers are the Cinderella stories. Now, like you mentioned in the first hour, it's a double-edged sword, right? Like, okay, you get the Cinderellas to advance to the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, and then you have matchups that are less good. But in this case, you have a lot of great matchups. I just feel like I would like one 12, 13, or 14 seed to be in the Sweet 16. Not a gripe, just... Okay. I just think it would be nice to have one of them.
That's fine. Samter, who's your loser from this weekend?
I was going to go with R.J. Lewis, but since you went with Pitino, I'm going to change it up a little bit. I think the guy that we've been talking about, going for history, going for a three-peat, Dan Hurley. It's been a rough year, and just when he shows emotion and there's a chance that maybe people can turn the tide because you see this emotion, he's caught cursing at the refs and blaming the refs for losing. And then the SID comes over and makes it even worse by threatening the reporter. So at the end of the day, I think Dan Hurley's the biggest loser. History goes down the drain. His reputation is taking a little bit of a hit.
Oh, stop it.
No. Just in general, not like as a basketball coach, but just in general, this season's been a rough year for him because of all the negative attention he's been receiving.
If you wanted to say the SID is the loser of the weekend, I would actually agree with that. I thought Dan Hurley did an incredible coaching job, and I know it's more than just a coaching job, but I don't think his antics are the worst thing in the world. Like, could he mature a little bit? Absolutely. But I really don't have this big problem up into – I didn't think he was right about what he said about the refs. Let me be abundantly clear. I didn't think the refs impacted that game. But it's not the first time I heard a coach bitch about the refs, or they shouldn't be, and it won't be the last. I think the major problem is the SID. If that's true, walking up to that reporter, I'll ruin your life if you don't delete the video that you just took. Like, geez Louise, what are we doing there? All righty. Winners and losers of this past weekend in college basketball right there. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We will eat a W next as Jameis Winston is off to the New York Giants. We will break down what that means for the NFL draft, which is a month away. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All righty, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We have Adam in Wichita. He says, Zach, do you think the Jameis Winston signing by the New York Giants take him out of the running for taking a quarterback with the third overall pick? You can submit a question by tweeting at INSportsCenter, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I didn't take that signing that way. I took it as they're not getting Aaron Rodgers. So you got Tommy DeVito there. You know, teams don't usually carry three quarterbacks, but you could. So you sign Jameis Winston. It's a very cheap deal. If Aaron comes back to you and says, hey, he wants to go there, you could still get the job done. But I don't think that the Giants believe that Aaron's going to do that. So even though you would be kind of screwed if Jameis Winston's your starting quarterback from week one, I think the Giants have two options here. You either still go get Aaron Rodgers, which I don't think Aaron's going to want you, or you're going to find a way to take a quarterback third overall. And today's March 24th. April 24th is the first round of the draft. The big question still out there is, I think most of us believe Cam Ward's going to be the number one overall pick. Do the Giants trade up to one to get him, or does Tennessee just take him? Right now, maybe the Giants get desperate. Maybe, you're right, Rodgers goes to the Steelers. You're sitting there, you're like, oh, we didn't even sign Russell Wilson. Also, I think they're done on Russell Wilson, too, if you're bringing Jameis Winston. And I think that they sit there, the Giants go, we're either getting Aaron, we probably don't think we're going to get him, so therefore, we're going to go take a quarterback in the draft. But can the Giants get their guy at three? Or one of their guys at three? Because if they somehow reach and take Jackson Dart at three, holy smokes, you thought the reaction to Daniel Jones was crazy. Wait until what the reactions would be to Jackson Dart. When I mean one of their guys, I mean either Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. And to get to Cam, you're going to have to move up from 3 to 1. It's possible. Right? Connor Hughes was one of the first people that speculated that it's maybe a swap of ones and then two threes, maybe a swap of ones, a three and a two. I would do that for Cam Ward. But if Cam Ward goes one, you better hope you know what, that the Browns are taking Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. Because the nightmare scenario for the Giants would be this. You already signed Jameis. Aaron picks the Steelers. Russ, let's say, signs somewhere else. And then you're banking on getting a quarterback in the draft, and 1-2 is quarterback, which if I'm the Browns, I would take a quarterback. I would absolutely positively tell everyone that would listen that I'm taking a quarterback right now. And even if you don't believe it, because if you're thinking you're taking a quarterback now and you're Cleveland, I think you believe that it's going to be Shedeur Sanders, even though I think Cam Ward is slightly better. Because most people's perception right now is that Cam Ward is going to be the number one overall pick. So if you tell everyone right now you're going to take Shedeur Sanders, maybe the Giants panic and they move up from 3 to 1 and give up future capital. You could still get Shedeur at 2 because the Giants would take Cam Ward. Or if you're not serious about taking a quarterback at two, if you're Cleveland, and let's say the Giants don't move up to one because they still think you're going to get Shedeur Sanders, you could then call the Giants and say, we're on the clock at two. Cam Ward just off the board. We're going to take Shedeur Sanders unless if you give us a package that we can't refuse. And that's how you try to suck every last ounce out of the Giants into giving you a ridiculous package. You fall back one spot, and then you get Abdul Carter, or you still get Travis Hunter. So I genuinely believe, and I genuinely think, that Cleveland should take the quarterback. Doesn't mean that they will. I think they should. But the Giants signing Jameis, I don't think takes them out of the running for a quarterback in the draft. If anything, it increases the chances that they're going to do so. Because does anyone actually think Aaron's going to the Giants? I think most people believe Aaron Rodgers saying, please, Minnesota, please. You know, I'm begging you. Just take us. Take me, Minnesota. You know, that's what Aaron's saying. And Minnesota's like, nope, not interested. So eventually, Aaron's going to have to bite the bullet here. Or Aaron's going to have to do some ayahuasca, call up Mike Tomlin and just say, hey, it's a go. I'm coming to the Steel City. That's what Aaron's going to eventually have to do. And once that happens, you know, does Russell Wilson going to the Giants, does it really move the needle for me? No, it doesn't. So you sign Jameis, it's a cheap option. You know, his personality, I guess, does register with a lot of people, and you saw that at the Super Bowl. But are the Giants winning a ton of games with Jameis Winston? No. They got a ton of good sound bites, not winning games. So it's either you just did this as a placeholder, and then you still find a way to get Aaron, and Aaron's your guy for this year, which I don't think Aaron's going there. I don't think the Giants believe Aaron's going there. Or you have to go find a way to get a quarterback in the draft. Because if the Giants, 2 years in a row, they go Daniel Jones and then Jameis Winston after missing on a quarterback last year and they miss on a quarterback this year. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, pack your bags. All righty. Pack your bags. And get ready to pay the extra fee at the airport because those are going to be heavy bags. You know, those bags will be over 50 pounds. You have a lot of luggage going to wherever your next destination is. All right, that will do it for a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Stu, you have a fantasy baseball draft tonight, is that right?
Yes, the last one of my three.
You're in three fantasy baseball.
I'm in three.
I'm in one. I got my big fantasy baseball draft coming up tonight. By the way, Alex Rodriguez, and I think you've heard of him, A-Rod and A-Bomb from A-Rod. He's going to join us on Thursday's show. Chris Beard's going to join us coming up tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll have some other probably surprises through the week as we try to finalize some things with some college basketball guests around the country. Santer, thank you. Stewart, thank you. Ack, thank you. And to all of our great listeners and everyone that watches as well on YouTube, thank you very much for tuning in to another splendid edition of the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming on YouTube. We will talk mañana, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Have a wonderful, have a blessed Monday evening. And you can always follow me Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24-7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here, and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.